And just like that, we are back for round two. It is I, Simpiwe Mthethwa, and I have Ben Karpinski right next to me. And also joining us today is probably the biggest fan of the show, a man that flew all the way from Durban just to join us for this moment. It is the one and only who's also told us that we need to argue more on the show. And that's why. It is Mapelo.
Yes, that's the guy who said we must argue and fight.
And I think about argue a lot.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
How's your fight?
Are you comfortable there? I think James is put that thing very close to your face.
Yeah, he did. But I think I'm fine.
Get comfy as a human and then get the microphone in there.
Yeah, I need to get comfy.
Like you're about to get a back spasm.
I actually did not sleep at all.
Hectic. Why?
It's always bad for me when I'm about to be on this show. Last time, when we were in Cape Town, I was a bit hungover.
You don't want us to talk about your Cape Town Chronicles here. So we know you when you're not sober. Hey! And after a couple tequila shots, how you be looking?
Well, I did not sleep. I was traveling in a bus, actually. I was like, comparing prices, you know, last minute things. So I'm like, let me take a bus, you know? So,
and how is that? I've heard buses are basically taxis.
No, I was traveling in a very premium bus.
Oh, excuse us.
There are levels.
Excuse us, you know.
Right,
okay. And how is that? Like, first time traveling long distance with the bus or done this before?
No, I've done it before. Actually, for the Real Network. I did come here about 2 years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
In a bus, traveled the whole night, did not sleep. But anyway.
Okay, so KZN, like, whereabouts in KZN?
In Musgrave.
And that was, you born and raised there, obviously?
No, I'm from the Eastern Cape, from the Rurals. Musgrave is just where I stay and work. Yeah.
Okay, so what do you do, Mapelo, when you're not on the show? Bad mouthing us.
I do a lot of things. It's hard for me to say I am this, but I'm a PA, basically. I have a lot in where I work. My company, of course, not my company. I'm a PA, but yeah, I'm a PA basically.
Okay. What's the company? I mean, are you shoveling pearl or whatever?
Oh, yeah, or are you running engineering components? The name of the company is Ethical Ways.
Not pick and pair.
No.
We deal with ethics. I think maybe their network could be our client. We train you to be ethical.
I mean,
Ethical Ways, not waste.
You have ways of how to make the Gareth Cliff show great again? Or Australia Lap, or what's how you plan on doing that?
Well, firstly, the context is on Wednesday.
Basically, this is a James problem. Okay, James, are you listening? This is for you.
Basically,
I love the fact I can just take notes now for like an hour. Carry on.
Gareth,
I'm comfy.
Got on the show and he started talking about Disney, the whole show. So, like, what's going on? Because the Gareth Cliff show that I know used to have impact, you know what I'm saying?
Oh.
And now it's just lost the plot. So
no Disney talk. Got you.
No, I mean,
you gotta unpack that. You can't just give a clanger like there's no impact. What was about it? Was it the subject matter was shit? Was it repetitive?
It was just continuous.
I'm gonna cross-examine your bombs here.
Okay, it's fine. You can do that. I don't have a problem. The thing is, it's like Gareth got here, he was bored, and then started talking a lot of nonsense. And there was just, you know.
And you don't like that?
No, it's fine. You can still have fun topics like Disney.
Okay.
But you must go for like 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And then after that, you know, but after that, I have this to talk about, you know. You know those show features?
Are you hinting that Gareth was underprepared on Wednesday?
Show features, something to look forward to every show, you know. I mean, there is Dr. Hanan on Monday, which is fine. But what else?
Oh, what else? Okay, okay. You
know? So there used to be things like headlines at this time, you know. But
so you want structure, basically.
You see?
Well, he wants impact. I think the key word there is that he said he wants impact and it was lacking. Carry on, I'm listening. I'm all ears.
We both are, Ben.
I'm quite impartial.
yeah, of course. Yes, structure is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, some topics, some topics can be, you know, but structure, you know, that's the basic.
There's some people in here in the comment section, they agree with you.
Yeah.
So maybe you're onto something.
Read them. Stop being so mysterious.
Carl is basically saying, hard to argue with this guy about Wednesday's show. You know, we have Komutso here who says, I enjoyed the Disney talk. So, you know, Bitcoin Bud over here says, I'll back up Mapelo. That promo from before was gack.
The what?
You know? I don't know what promo you're talking
about. Yeah, there's a thing about promos.
But also Bitcoin Boot also says Wednesday show was good, talking about gack with Chris Forrest.
It was funny.
Oh, Mapelo, so you've left out the fact that we actually had a guest on Wednesday.
It was very funny. It was a good show.
You came here and said 2 hours of Disney, get fucked. Now we revealed it was actually a good show and a guest.
Someone's also jealous over here. Congo Chris says, this is what happens when you don't let me be the commander-in-chief of the comment section. You get drunkards like Mapelo on the show to badmouth the show. Do better, James. Get me on.
Well, what do you have to say, Congo Chris, okay? I have something to say. What do you have to say? Stop bad mouthing me, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Damn it.
This is good.
This is a fight. Okay. Between who can be on the show. I like it. Let's go. Okay.
Yeah, show features, guys. Bring back show features, something to
do. So you clearly missed the burning platform.
We can bring something else.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your thoughts on the Friday show, since you're on the Friday show?
Friday shows are very cool because they're simple, eh? They are always my favorite shows.
Nailed it.
Of course. And there is Ben, of course. Yeah. I mean, you know, what more
basically
can you ask
replicate
for?
Friday across the week is what I'm picking
what
up.
What can you ask for? Gareth, every time she comes here as if
James took that one personally. He even left this shade here. But I think we get it. You like Friday show and everything else can be improved.
Simpia came prepared. I don't know about Gareth. Look at her with that laptop in front of her. She has things to share with us. You know what I'm saying? Gareth just comes in. Just
talks. Okay, just talks. Well, talking about sharing, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Ben. How good are you with Microsoft Excel?
I'm terrible. I wouldn't.
He works for ethical ways, not for efficient ways.
You know? So I wouldn't give myself a rating. I would just say terrible.
Terrible. Damn. So you guys don't qualify for this thing because there's actually a Microsoft Excel championship in Las Vegas. Can you believe it? And basically what they do is they get 12 finalists, the best of the best in the various like companies or who know how to work Microsoft Excel, and they are given a problem that they have to solve. And they have like 5 minutes to solve that problem. And whoever is the champion after that 5 minutes, not million, wins a $5,000 prize.
I'm guessing this is quite a spectator sport, this.
Yeah, I think it's still fresh. It's still new. There's not a lot of hype around it. I was just shook to the core that like there's something called the Microsoft Excel Championships. And if you are good at solving, you know, problems there with the spreadsheets and doing all of that thing, then this might be your time to shine and make some money.
That must be so fun if you're only good at that in life, right? And you fix any of these things and go, what have I done in my life? All I know is Excel spreadsheets.
I know,
and
right?
Then you hear about this and you go, this is my time.
Finally.
This is my moment to shine. I can solve anything. Yeah. So there's, you know, if you feel like you don't have a place in the world, here it is. Here's your moment to shine and do the right things. It's really bad enough that you have to carry those HP Dell laptops this thick. Now, you know, do something with them.
Okay. So let's get back onto Mapelo basically bad-mouthing Gareth. So I watched something this week that I thought was super interesting on YouTube, where this guy did like a thesis on the downfall of the Joe Rogan podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at the Joe Rogan podcast and I think it's not for me anymore because it's boring, because it's repetitive.
Okay.
Harsh words. Mm-hmm. Okay. But that doesn't now mean that Joe Rogan is a bad person or there's anything wrong with him or he shits at what he does. It's just that everything else is caught up to him. And everything around him is just more kind of interesting, more engaging, right? Mm-hmm. Because of life cycles. Joe's been doing that podcast, I think, since 2013. It's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very long time. Very long time to do a lot. And he does a lot.
Yes, he does.
And I also think that people then become complacent and then they get, okay, well, we know this guy back to front. We've had so much access to him. Therefore, we're kind of over it.
Mm.
So, Mapela, do you believe, going back to what you were saying there, is that maybe you just had too much access to Gareth. Now you've become too familiar with him. And therefore, he doesn't rock your boats anymore. Is this where we're going with this?
No, I actually don't think so.
That's I heard.
I don't think I will ever get bored of Gareth.
Okay,
he needs to be consistent.
Okay.
You know, when I started listening to him, I can say a lot of things about how Gareth literally changed a lot of things about how I see the world. No, not just him. Of course, there are a lot of other things that impacted.
Well, he made you think about a few things differently.
Yes.
I think that's the key of a great broadcaster.
But now I just don't feel that. I used to have things like the letter to the president. It used to be interesting. Now he's like...
used to make features.
He used to have features, you know? Okay. But now it's everything is like, yeah, I come to the show. I'll make you laugh. I'll have guests. Interesting guests. That's fine. But it's just not enough. I need to live with something every time I watch the show. That's what I'm used to. So now I don't get that anymore.
See, and the great thing about you saying this without pressure, because Gareth will tell you to get fucked. But ultimately, what you're saying there is, this is the reality of having a show. This is the reality of broadcasting. And when you do become something quite big in someone's life, it's the consistency and keeping the bar raised high.
Yeah, but AJ, or LJ here, says Gareth is the most fun when he's angry. More rants.
He doesn't rant anymore. That's the thing.
So you guys don't like him when he's content with life and, you know, things are just going a bit smoothly. You want him to always just be the angry white man.
No. Okay. I, that's fine too. Whatever people want to call him. It's because the other thing I hate about what people say about Gareth is that they don't realize that they are so racist to Gareth. Because he's a white man, he can't be angry. He can't insult someone, especially politicians, black politicians. If he says something, I mean, not acceptable to other people about a politician, oh, Gareth is racist. I'm like, but that's racist. You are being racist to Gareth because if it was someone else with a little bit of melanin, you wouldn't say he's racist. Yeah, so you're being racist instead.
Yeah, it's a very unfair double standards. And I think a lot of the time he makes such great points that make people think, but then people just try to disqualify him because of who he is.
Yeah, because of his color and because they just don't like what he's saying, maybe. You know,
and sometimes you don't want to hear the truth from a certain kind of person, which I think is very immature.
Yeah. And another thing I saw an article about Gareth
recently. From,
yeah. From News 24, of course. Well, from What to Expect.
There we go.
They had a recollection of everything Gareth was ever accused of. And I looked, I'm like, what has Gareth done except stuff that he was accused of? It was just an article that stupid.
So sad.
Sad.
It's so sad that people then want, again, it's like vilifying someone because you're the right kind of villain.
He didn't say anything recently. It's just an article about what he said in the past.
Easy target. Just becomes easy target.
Okay. I think I get the gist of this. Gareth needs to improve, do better, be more angry.
We need more articles.
That was your take.
Structure, you know? Yeah. to summarize what Mapela is saying, you know, and we'll make sure that he hears this episode of the podcast. And next week, he must do better. Finish and laugh. That's it.
He's going to come and say it.
Of course he will, but it's always good to have a reflective thing just to talk about stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I wish he was here because
Gareth can do and say what he wants. It's his show. Hey, Mapela, people fighting with you. If Mapela wants something different, then he can start his own show. And
well,
let's see
you just
how
have a crush on Gareth.
It compares.
Ooh. Oh, jeez.
I'm fighting back.
Fighting back harsh there.
Hey, let's not do that. But let's move along. You know, he's had the criticism or will one day, someday, maybe he'll take it in, maybe not. But do you guys know where... No, I'm going to rephrase that. Do you know which is the province that has actually the most expensive groceries?
Most expensive groceries?
Yes.
Limpopo?
Why Limpopo? Why would you say Limpopo is expensive?
Because it's fucking far away from everything.
Mapelo?
I would think Free State?
Free State.
Because nothing grows there. It's cold or very hot.
Why are you poo-pooing? You know, hey, yo, things, there's no port. There's no airport. Stuff gets transport. That's what makes things expensive.
Yeah, that reason too.
You guys are both wrong. You guys are, I'm sorry, but you guys are both wrong.
Northern Cape.
No.
Western Cape, because no. It's another country.
Yeah, well said.
Well, it's on the list. It's in the top three, but it's not the most expensive place to get.
Then, because you've got to have insurance over looting.
No, the most expensive is Rachel and Johannesburg. Fun fact. Yeah, so Johannesburg remains the most expensive city in South Africa for groceries. Right? In March 2025, followed by Cape Town and Durban. Okay, according to the Peter Maritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Group.
These guys must, it makes no sense. We've got high population density here. We've got distribution centers. That makes fuck all sense.
But listen, it says the cost of a household food basket reached about 5,329 rand nationally, with Johannesburg's basket being 5,481 rand, making it the priciest metro. Durban overtook Cape Town as the cheapest city, though food prices are rising across all regions.
That's outrageous. I feel cheated.
Interesting.
I mean,
it's not Limpopo, guys. It's not the Free State where things don't grow.
But you're talking about groceries, right? Things that need to be shipped from places. Like Limpopo is not making its own OMO.
They grow a lot of the fruits, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Like Limpopo, you can get great mangoes.
Where does that go
stuff
to get packaged? I stop at the side of the road every time I'm in Limpopo to buy stuff. Because you get it cheaper there, right? The avos are cheaper.
Because it's grown there, yeah.
Oh, okay, but now in the stores too.
But I'm just saying, if you can get the fruits, it's like where I stay. Not too far, there is a farm where they grow cabbages and all these veggies, and then the plantation is right opposite. So I buy my veggies there. It's way cheaper than buying it at Pick and Pay or the other retailers because they got it right there. So in that regard, I think if they're growing it naturally on the farms, that's what makes it cheaper. Because you're not going to Pick and Pay to buy it. So you're buying a mango for 5 rand as opposed to 15 rand because it's been packaged.
Okay. But then how do you know? Because it's informal trade. I mean, if you're talking your basket or your trolley.
And how long is
talking
it been
stores
there,
here
in the streets? Is it going to last in your fridge compared to the one?
That's a very different topic for another day because I don't think they consider that. I don't think so. Because
with your mind, you need to consider it though.
Yes, but I think, I mean, households are different. For someone like, I don't know if you've seen these restocks, right, on TikTok, where people will do a weekly restock and they spent about almost 4,000, and you're thinking that's 4,000 times 4. So there's, and then somebody's like, that would last me a whole month.
Yeah, I don't spend that much in a month.
So it depends. It depends on your household. I mean, I think they're just looking at it in terms of if you went in now, you bought this, whether it lasts you 2 weeks or 3 weeks, this is what you're buying now.
You know, most poor households buy groceries once a month. So for them, it's very important to consider how long it's going to last them. And some households don't even have fridges. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's real.
Well, then you eat certain things then.
You just buy basics. You buy like once a month. Let's say maybe for veggies, to be honest, of course, you do restock, but you don't go every week or every 2 weeks for groceries. You go once a month when you get paid the cocos. Get groceries, put them in the cupboard for the whole month. And if something runs out, too bad.
Okay, well, Carl DeSantos over here saying, Ben, stop being so naive. People have money in Jersey and Cape Town. So the retailers know they can hike prices and still sell.
Yeah, Carl, I get supply, demand, and commerce and stuff, but I just horrified because I think one of the reasons people live in Joburg because it's cheaper.
No. Joburg. Yeah. The richest square mile, Sandton.
We're not talking about paying for mochoshes and fucking T-bone steaks in restaurants here.
No, but I'm talking about, I mean, if you think about it, right? Johannesburg is the business heart of South Africa. So if you want to make money, you come to Joburg. And we know that. And obviously, they've positioned Sandton as the richest square mile in Africa. So that means when you come here, you want to spend your top dollar. So things are going to be hiked up because of that.
So are you telling me that a Pick n Pay in Sandton, no, great. You're telling me that the Checkers in Sandton is going to have more expensive stuff than the Checkers in, I don't know, Tzaneen?
I think so. But I know with cars, when I was car shopping, I was told to not necessarily buy my car, like, for example, in Sandton, because whatever price they give me is going to be higher than if I went to, like, the East Rand or Durban or something. Like, it might be the same brand, so, for example, BMW, but the price of that car is very different because of where it's located. So there's something that plays to where things are located. Things do go up because, getting a one-room apartment in Sandton will cost you 10K, and it's a studio thing. It's very small.
But that's a
because it's Sandton.
But that's a different product, though.
But groceries, since now there's online shopping, you can literally order, let's say, for example, from Makro. Makro doesn't have an app, a 60 minutes app. They have a national app where everyone, they order, they see same prices, so... So that Makro is not going to have different prices compared to others. Yeah, how does that work online?
Humutsa is even saying even the gym fees are more expensive in Joburg.
The what?
Gym.
Oh.
Gym fees.
That's a different product.
Yeah, groceries? Of course it is. Groceries are universal. Yeah, exactly to your point. So now it's being standardized through technology. That's why I find this thing
No, it's not. It's not. I think the basic, like, bread has been standardized, right? Because it's a staple that everyone needs to buy. So there's certain items, that's why there's certain goods that don't have VAT on it, right? But if you went and
tell me that there's something in this country that Cyril hasn't touched. I don't believe you for a second.
No, but I do know, like, for example, if you walked into a Woolworths, I'm going to make an example. This is an example. And you bought biscuits at Woolworths, right? There will not be the same price at a Boxer. No. Those are the same biscuits. I'm talking about the same, like, if you bought, like, Itzamores, for example. The ones that go Woolworths and Checkers, they're different. We've seen it. We've done this with milk, guys.
It's fine.
We buy milk at the office. Like, we look at, the same brand.
I totally get that. But
different prices.
But sure. One shop will have different prices? Woolworths? In Cape Town and all that.
Yeah, that's more the point we're trying to get at here. That's what would make no sense
because
to me.
You would say,
yes, okay, cool.
Groceries are cheaper in the Eastern Cape, for example,
okay.
Because there isn't more Woolworths, there isn't Checkers, there are ShopRite, Boxer, Roots for your meat. So you'd say, you get groceries for cheaper there because there aren't expensive shops like Woolworths and Checkers, you know what I'm saying? So if you come to Joburg, of course, you're going to find a lot of Woolworths everywhere. And that's where you're going to get your groceries because it's everywhere. It's where it's close. You're not going to go and find a Boxer in the CBD. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, look, this is becoming a boring conundrum, but I'm as perplexed as you on that. Let's just carry on.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a cool fun fact that you guys know. And maybe we should get someone
I just think a particular store can get fucked if they want to have... But I don't see how it's possible because if you're on the 6060 app, like you said, they got one price, no matter where you live.
Yeah. And you mentioned bread that it doesn't have VAT.
It's not supposed to because it's a staple.
White bread has VAT.
White bread might not be considered a staple. Brown bread might be.
Too bad for the whites. There's even racism with bread.
Even in the bread, huh?
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, this is high school knowledge now. There's certain items that do not have VAT. If I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong.
Of course, there are
items
like brown bread, rice, mealy meal, apparently school fees.
School fees?
There are a lot of municipality services.
Petrol?
Water,
is that
waste.
Petrol? It's also essential.
But petrol has VAT, doesn't it?
Fuck,
it doesn't have VAT, but there are a lot of tree taxes, I think. It's already being taxed, but
it's like 40% too expensive because of stupid shit like road accident fund and
they claim that it doesn't have VAT as if we need more tax on top of that.
All right. On to other news. There is a guy who basically did this thing of being a thief. He went into a store and he decided to steal some jewelry. Do you want to guess what he stole?
Where? Limpopo? Or where is this guy?
No, this was in Orlando. So this is America. Okay. This is America. He woke up one day, decided to be a thief. He walked into a store and decided to steal some diamonds, Tiffany diamonds to be exact, worth 600,000
dollars.
Oh. And you know what he did? He tried swallowing them when he got caught. When he got caught by the police.
And
he's built different.
They rushed him to hospital and they got the diamonds out.
The process.
I love how you make it sound so nice. They got the diamonds out. They made him make a poo and they went and washed them.
The process. I don't even think about it.
Yeah, so being a thief doesn't pay. I mean, he stole items in South African rands, was worth over 14 million rand.
Do you reckon swallowing was always his game plan, or was he panicked into the...
I think he was panicked. Because I think he thought he might have made a getaway, but then,
a bit of
like,
a dead end, though.
The cops kind of caught him, and then he was like, okay, like, if the evidence is not in the car, I guess.
What's the planning for that?
I don't know. I'm not a criminal, so I don't know how people
but
think.
But I mean, unfortunately, your asshole is a bit of a dead end because people are going to be waiting there going, yep, here it is. It reminds me of those border shows at the airports where the guys try to do the drugs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you can just see they are sweating and they go through that special machine and you can see like the little things of cocaine.
Small blocks.
Yeah. And the guy's like, nah, nothing in there. Like, dude, there's drugs in your intestine, whatever, whatever. And then they take them to the hospital. And then that's always the best content because they film these guys.
Yes.
And they go, yep, just waiting for him to take a shit. And then that's it. And it must be the most demoralizing thing as a human, jeez, knowing that your next cuck makes you a criminal.
Being on TV on top of that.
Because normally in life, when you go take a shit, okay, it's like, okay, I need to go take a shit afterwards. I can carry on my life. But your life literally will end with this cuck.
Yeah, you're being defined by that.
Yeah.
It's what you
but
are.
I think it was like, hey, man, shout out to him for thinking on his feet and was like, I don't want them to see the diamonds on me. So I'll
think on his feet.
Them. Shout out to him. Quick question for you, Ben. Has AI made you obsolete?
I think. Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day, actually. Ultimately, AI is going to make all of us obsolete to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. So we have to get smarter with these things. But then I also think, like, people have been saying that now for 4 or 5 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. But how much has it changed? Like, does anyone actually have a job now that they don't have because of AI? Because ultimately, like, I work in content, right? Mm-hmm. We're probably going to get to the point where content is so created through AI, no one's going to give a shit about you or what you say because it's just going to become whatever. So yeah, I have to move away from that completely. I need to find something else. I need to find ways to make companies run more efficiently or some shit. But that's also going to be AI. I mean, Mabella, your entire company is going to become AI.
But with AI, you must know how to use it. It's not going to use itself. You're going to need someone behind it to
run the stuff. So that's what Bill Gates was saying, because, I mean, untrustworthy fat man. But he says that if you work in engineering or renewable or like energy sources or biology kind of stuff, AI is never going to be able to take your job because there's way too much interpretation and application that goes into it. Even with coding, like, you think that AI can code? Coding is about creating code and then meticulously scrutinizing it to the point that it's actually usable. And an AI will never be able to do that.
And there needs to be someone who wants to code a specific thing. So AI won't just code out of the blue.
you know?
So we can just say there are going to be fewer people working, the ones who are actually behind the AI. I mean, sending instructions to the system.
Yeah, I guess.
Look, put it this way. AI is going to trim a lot of fat.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that's already the case for many things. I'm just curious as to people who may have been trimmed already because of AI.
I mean, I think they'll be fine. I think certain professions I'm more worried about. It might be a good thing that AI is taking over, like healthcare.
If you're a data capturer or There's other things.
I think, with that one, I don't know. But I look at it in terms of healthcare, right? Like where AI, they have the robots coming in to do the surgeries, and they've seen that like the robots do a better job, less mistakes. Like in that case, you want more of that in the system. You want less complications and faster surgeries.
That is a crazy
But that also
thought,
means
yeah.
that the profession of being a doctor is going to become obsolete. And we've always looked at doctors or that profession like something as like, oh my word, like if there's one thing you can study and you know you'll always get a job and you'll always be secure, boom shakaboom, you know, be a lawyer, be a doctor, those professions. And I think those are the professions that are in the most danger. Like, hey, if someone can do this bit better, faster, they can do the surgery, they can do this, why not?
Would you want a robot to operate on you?
I wouldn't mind if it's if there's going to be less complications and it's going to be faster. Would not mind.
But if you suddenly right now had an issue with your pancreas or something, now that you're in your 30s, and you had to go to surgery right now, and they said, Dr. Glover is not here. We've got
Alpha 360.
Alpha 360 H1 here.
Okay.
We'll cut you open. Would you go, cool?
I would ask questions around Alpha 60. How many
What's his battery life?
Yes. How many surgeries has he done? How many complications has the thing experienced? I would ask about the fact that
they're going to say zero, Mr. Tetwa. He's fully charged. He's ready to go.
So I'm the guinea pig that he's practicing on. No.
Who's going to be accountable no. if something wrong happens?
No, what I'm saying is I don't want to be the first person. I don't want it. It must have done its trial and error with other humans. And then I want to be the person that's like, you know, he's perfected the art.
I mean, with healthcare.
I don't mind then. I don't.
Operating on someone, you also involves being ethics, being ethical, since I work in ethics. So AI, how I don't know how it's going to work, but... Another place that I think AI is very, very needed in the municipalities. We need AI to...
Oh, jeepers. You can run an Excel spreadsheet and it'll improve the municipalities.
Because I had one thing that actually there are budgets that go to the municipalities. Of course, they steal the money, but there's a lot of money that goes back to the wallet that is not being used, but there isn't work done. I'm like, why? There aren't people there who are to do the work. To say, okay, we need to fix that street. But if you had maybe AI, they would know, okay, maybe with that cut street camera is looking at that street, knowing that, okay, we had that pothole since yesterday, so mm-hmm. it needs to be fixed, you know?
Well, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, that's, but the thing is, it's like turkeys, what's the saying? Turkeys voting for Christmas. It's like no government's going to get the efficiency systems to come in because they're going to have to work hard and they're going to be showing up to not do any work whatsoever. So AI will always be fought in this country because accountability is a swear word.
Yes, but another reason why AI might be, you know, not welcome in South Africa is because of the amount of water it uses, right? So did you know that in order to shoot off one email per week for a tool like ChatGPT uses up to 27 liters of water?
How?
We have the ocean.
No. No.
How the fuck is water used?
It's what keeps the machines thing. Running. Like, you know how there's servers, and like back in the day, it was like an actual boom, and it was like you had a room where all the servers are. Similar to that with AI, but what keeps it going is water. So that's how you.
Is it like a manatee?
So it uses a lot of water, like a lot.
Some things just don't work in my head. This is one of them. So you're telling me if I go into ChatGPT right now and say, why does water get used? And they respond to me, we've lost a flush of the toilet, basically.
Yes. So every time you prompted to send like a write up a 100-word email, I know I did a bit of reading on this, like a 100-word email, something like that, that's how much water it uses.
So what would happen?
And that's just one AI tool, right? So you can imagine there's various other AI tools that are being used by various companies on a much larger scale.
I need to know.
So there's a lot more water being used.
I need to know more. Like, I understand that people always make that thing that for every pair of jeans, you're basically wasting 1,000 liters of water because there's a washing process to physically make a product. This is an electronic system that relies on servers, networks, and the magic of the internet. Where's the water? I know I sound stupid right now, but okay. I'm going to risk it for the biscuit. Where the fuck's the water coming in here?
Okay, so the energy...
is it a hydroelectric plant that is running
this
thing?
So here's to answer your question. It says, why does AI require a lot of water? Answer.
Maybe you could have started with that.
This energy is converted into heat, so we need to get rid of the heat. Water evaporation is one of the most efficient ways to cool down the data center facilities.
I want to see the data center. Is it a dam?
You said evaporation.
Water evaporation.
Meaning that the water goes back to the atmosphere and it comes back. So it's like a recycling system. We'll never run out of water. We shouldn't be worried.
Simply. I wouldn't think like that, Papelo. considering all the issues we have with Joburg water. Yeah. Like
we don't have a problem with Joburg water, apparently. We have a problem with leaks.
Okay, what's going on there?
You know there was a whole water indaba this week. It's actually happening right now.
Oh, really?
Cyril's gone there to see if there's anything for free.
He's hosting events, man. Like, things.
Who's fucking inviting this, Oak? He gave the keynote speech at the water indaba.
Yeah, I'm sure he was shocked a lot about a lot of things.
Cupcake.
What can he add as a keynote speaker other than, I'm very surprised that we have leaks?
Is that what he said?
No, I mean, he obviously said...
What do you expect?
Useless bullshit that no one cares about. But how is he a keynote speaker in anything other than how to steal money and handouts? I mean, I'd listen to that one. That would be a TED talk. I would be there taking notes. This is an expert in his field. But water? The water in Darba? Could they not have got maybe a scientist or someone who works with water, someone who's maybe turned metros around globally through efficiency? Could they not have maybe got...
Do we have a minister of...
We have every minister.
Of course.
Yes, because so would that minister not be more applicable to speak?
Well, that minister will probably do something else at the water in Darba. But would you not get an expert? Because if we have problems... You're looking for solutions, right? Cyril is not a solution to anything.
And ministers are also not a solution for anything.
Blows my mind. But yeah, there's a water in Darba right now. And what they are saying is that basically we've got water. No worries there. It's just that we don't have a way of holding it properly. So basically Joburg is just one big leak.
It's like a big AI system.
So this is the solution, right?
Okay.
They've now got... noise like thingies. So there's a frequency that when there's a leak, there's a different sound that comes through the pipes. So they've now put things all over the pipes to work out, oh, there's a different noise there, so therefore there's a leak. But then someone's got to still patch the leak, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we know there's a fucking leak. Pretty sure that's like easy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step?
But we do report the dam leaks. They still never get fixed.
Yeah, I also report them often.
Yeah, I do, even in my area. I report them. But the leak is going to carry on for months. And I'll keep reporting it, you know. But nothing happens. So if you have these detectors, what's going to happen? What difference does it make?
So basically, like, they're applying the Zondo Commission to the pipes. It's like, leak there, fucked over there, messing there. But okay, what's the next step? And I hope that this Indaba then is the next step as to how we then plug stuff.
Sure. Okay.
Or commission of a commission.
I don't ever understand these like water in Indaba events, the G20 events that take place. Like,
you should attend them.
Yeah. No. I mean, in terms of you get all these leaders coming in one place talking about some of the issues. One will beg, ask for money. Another one will give him the money and be like, okay, but I want this in return. I don't get the purpose of them in terms of the fact that. They make it seem as if there's progress in this particular area of like water and whatnot, but the reality is nothing is getting fixed. So why do we host these events? Why do we keep doing these kind of events?
Well, they're under the illusion that things do get fixed. It's like this whole thing, like a committee for a committee, as you say. There's the illusion that they are doing their job, but it's not for them to actually do the work. That's far too hard. They expect that the work is done by somebody, but they're doing the really magnanimous thing of highlighting the problems.
We are aware of that. They're always aware.
They're creating awareness. So Congo Chris says, Ben, our government isn't there. Our government's not there to solve problems. They're there to create a dependency on the state while enriching themselves. They're communists. Exactly. So they'll have these indabas all day because it's about like we're addressing it, we acknowledge it, And that's enough.
No, that's not enough. You know, the problem with our government is, A, they don't have a vision for South Africa. And I'm not talking about the dependency that they're trying to create with every other South African. They don't have a clear, like, vision to say this is our stance. I mean...
They do have a vision. It's the new 7 series. It probably comes out next year.
I guess.
Or it's an AMG version of a car that no one's got yet. That's the vision.
No, but for the country, like, it's almost like they haven't created, you know, when you think of the Springboks and you think, oh my gosh, like, they had a vision in terms of wanting to be the best.
Yes.
And that was the goal. So they worked towards that goal. They won the World Cup. That's, we're going to do it again. Now they're back to back World Cup winners. And it's like, okay, cool. But it started off with someone having a vision. I feel like our government lacks that. They do not have a vision in any sense of, I want South Africa to get to this place. And even though they might not be achieving that, they still have that end goal in mind. All they want to do is make themselves richer, and it's sad.
Well, that is their vision, because to use the example there, the vision that the Boks had was from out of a wanting to be successful and to be iconic and to uplift players and tell stories. Cyril and his mates, their vision is, we need to enrich ourselves. That's it.
Yeah, whoever comes from wherever, even here in South Africa, tender premiers or other governments from other countries, whoever brings the money to their pockets, they will go with that. There's no vision for South Africa. The vision is the money.
The vision's for them. So I think you're being very harsh, Simpiwe. I think they do have vision, but not for South Africa. The last thing they have is that.
Jeez.
They'll use it as a leverage point, but their vision is today, balling, my time.
That is sad. But Mpela, I got a question for you. You watching a new Netflix show, apparently? Yes, no, maybe?
Yeah, I finished watching. The latest show I did watch was Adolescence. Yes.
Okay, what's that about?
This 13-year-old kid gets arrested for murdering another 13-year-old, apparently, I think another 13-year-old. And firstly, there are two things about that show, right? Mm-hmm. One thing is the hype. I was like, what's the hype about?
Okay.
So like, okay, apparently every episode is uncut. There are no cut, and then they move to another scene or whatever. It's continuous the whole episode.
Yeah, that is a feat of engineering in itself. Eh? Wow.
Sure.
But I don't believe it's real, because I've seen that. Even Netflix have done it before with one movie. One is Extraction 2. There's a long scene there, like action-packed, lot of guns and explosions.
There was a First World War movie. I forget it now. It's like 1917 or 1918. Whatever.
All Quiet in the Western Front.
It's one scene.
Yes, one scene. I think the third of the movie is one scene.
Well, it gets sped up a little bit because you go from day to night. But yeah, it's one continuous, seamless scene.
If they can do that with movies where you know for sure that it is cut but seamlessly, why wouldn't they do it with that show and claim that it's not cut? Because I don't think anyone would act for so long, for a whole hour, with crying and stopping crying, smashing things, getting angry, calming down. Where are the pauses to see the script? You know what I'm saying? I don't believe it, because they've done it before, and we know for sure with movies that there are a lot of cuts, there are a lot of stunt doubles.
Mm.
So why wouldn't they do it with this show? And another thing, the whole thing about uncut is pointless. You know why? It's boring as hell.
Oh.
Having someone going to the shop, sitting at the front of the barkeep with his family, chatting, and then staying quiet. And then you have to watch them going to the shop, follow them the whole time. I'm like, well, what's the point of the whole thing?
Well, it's about creating something different. I think the whole uncut thing, when you watch that, the Menendez brothers Netflix show,
mm-hmm.
there was, I think it was like episode 3, whatever, and the entire episode was just on the one guy talking about how his dad basically did all kinds of things to him. But he's in a room in the prison where he's talking to his lawyer. And the entire scene was just one big Ken Burns shot of out wide. So you see the room, you see her, you see the table and him. then an episode ends with just his face because you've just panned in for fucking 40 minutes. But it's unbroken. It is absolutely like, okay, if you're into the show, if you're into the show, into the subject matter, and you're getting into the character, okay, this guy's breaking down how his dad basically fucked him senseless. It's hectic. But the entire thing is just one thing. And it worked so beautifully in that because it was captivating and you couldn't help, because the whole point, I think, of the scene was to make you side with the guy in this story. Yes. We know that he's about to be found guilty and spend his whole life in prison.
Of course.
But this scene was to get you on his side. And it was so heartfelt. But
they made him human, like, God's above.
But it was fucking incredibly well shot. And there was one thing, literally, the thing panned for all of like a meter.
But with that show, it gets boring because someone will be alone in the bedroom, cry and cry and cry and cry.
Oh, you've lost
and me. I'm like, oh my Lord.
Wait, Ben, you have an issue with people crying?
Well, I don't know what to do. What do? Do you make a joke? Do you hug them?
And all men crying.
I'm so bad with shit like that.
I literally.
It's like the other day, someone said something serious and the first thing that came to my mind was to make an inappropriate joke and I felt so bad. But it's all I got.
I literally skipped. Jumped. Yeah. Ten seconds.
So you became the editor, basically. So
yeah, I did jump. The guy is just crying. I'm like, why are we watching this? If it was a normal show, they would have cut to another scene. But they have to follow the same people for the whole episode.
Yeah, I'm out.
Okay, so, yeah. But clearly, this is a show that we should not be watching, especially if we do not enjoy.
If someone, help me out here. If someone's basically just crying or...
You could hug them. You could find out what's wrong. And you just...
Can you just go and hug people as guys?
I think so. Obviously, don't hug a stranger. Like, don't do that. This is someone you know. But, like, it's that thing of, like, oh, someone's having an emotional moment and you're there to not judge them, to not ridicule them, but to just kind of give them a hug. And you don't need to be speaking there. If you kind of know why they're crying, maybe like a parent or a loved one passed on, you don't need to console them by saying it's going to be okay. No, you can just be there in the moment. If they're crying because it's a breakup, you can just hug them, you know, and just be like, you know what?
Just be present is what you're saying. Yes. Just be there for them.
That's all a lot of people need. Simon Sinek shared that people need, I think it's 8 minutes, right? And so he has this thing with his best friend, right? Right? He has this thing with his best friend when he's not feeling okay and he's not all right, or vice versa, when she's not okay, whatever. They'll text each other, be like, do you have 8 minutes? And that's all you need. You need someone to be in that moment with you. Doesn't matter if you're feeling anxious, angry, sad, but someone to be in that moment with you for 8 minutes for you to be able to carry on with your day.
There's something so trivial about that. Like someone's taking a heartfelt thing and trying to be analytic about it. Okay, so you need to be heartfelt in there, but we're going to put a stopwatch on it. Like, get fucked. Is this where we are now as humans? We've got to analyze everything to the nth degree that we're now looking at compassion must not take 8 minutes.
No, I mean, obviously you don't need to time it, but they've
I'm not saying
yes.
But I think it's just funny how someone has packaged it like that. It's like, look, guys, we can make a difference in just 8 minutes or your money back.
I
don't look at it like that, but yes.
I used to have a problem with that, but I'm becoming a better person. Because if someone has a problem, brings a problem to me and they're asking for an advice, I used to jump to solving that problem. To be rational, okay, here's where you are wrong.
It's a very masculine thing, yeah.
You know, I'm like, okay, try to solve it. Come with solutions, okay. Here's how you should look at this thing. And then you realize, well, actually, But I realized that some people don't like that. They just want me to say it's going to be okay and listen and say, I'm sorry, this happened to you, but I'm on your side.
The talkers will then talk, right? All I'm saying, in that moment when you walk in and you don't know what to do, just be present. The person who wants to talk will talk. If they don't want to talk, it's okay. That's it. Finish and laugh.
So, Appella, on that, I think another way of looking at it, because I think all people want to be problem solvers, right?
Yeah, as a man, more specifically.
It's a very masculine thing because you see problem, you want to, it's like, see fire, make fire stop. See threats, neutralize threat. But a lot of the time, and I think maybe this is more where like feminine energy or mindset is needed to be balanced, is that you realize that some problems just can't ever be solved, but you need to find a way of dealing with a problem. You're never going to solve it because it's always going to be there. And I think that's the main difference between like the sort of two things, is that you go in there with the mindset of like, okay, I need you to stop crying because it's fucking awkward. I don't know what to say. But then they're like, well, I'm going to cry tomorrow as well. probably the day after, because, you know, hashtag global warming, whatever the fuck you want to put in there. And finding a way as humans in our 8 minutes to basically say, we're not going to solve a problem, but we're gonna make it easier.
Yeah, that's what I do. Some problems.
Then you're winning. How do you make things softer?
My thing is not to tell you what to do. It's just ask questions, listen to you. In that process, you will realize, okay, I should do this. This is how I should look at it. I know I can't solve it. It's out of my hands, but at least for me to move on, this is what I should do.
Very mature.
About it, you know?
Yeah, very mature.
Okay. I think you guys know what to do now. Next time you see someone cry. And on that note, let me remind you that it's my birthday.
It is. Sapira, well done.
It's my birthday. I shall not be saying my age because...
She's 30.
She's old. That's
oh my
all I can
gosh,
tell.
Ben, why did you ruin my moment? Like,
because that's
moment.
How we started the show, by saying you're 30.
Yeah, but
and I said, like, it's an absolute honor to be 30.
Okay, but on that note, it's my birthday. It's all about me. You're welcome to send me gifts. Money would be great, but...
Do you not have like a Patreon or something that we can... Like, there a QR code to put in the screen
here? Shoot your shots in the DM. Ask for my bank details. I'll give them to you. You can spoiler sister. I'm not going to say no to like free goodies, but enjoy your weekend, guys, because I'm going to be indoors with my little one. Ben is going to get a new... haircut, maybe.
Hopefully play golf if the rain really piss off.
And Mapelo, what are you going to be up to?
I'm going to be in Joburg until tomorrow and then go back and just live my life as normal.
Very good.
Oh, so hot. And everybody else in the comment section, I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Gareth Cliff will be back, and hopefully the Gareth Cliff show will be great again next week, Monday.
Don't insult me, Gareth. Please.
Deuces.
Manners, hou je vinger uit mijn anus. Doe niet zo abnormaal, doe niet zo animaal. Manners, hou je vinger uit mijn anus. Doe weg die poot, of je krijgt een stoot.
Oh Nel, ik ben biseksueel. Maar ja, ik kan daar niks aan doen. Je hebt zo'n mooie kont, zo mollig en zo rond. Oh wat een gat, wat een gevoel is dat.
Het mannes, haal je vinger uit mijn anus. Doe niet zo abnormaal. Doe niet zo animaal.